Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. I want to thank you that you are our Father, that you love us, that you know us, you understand us better than we know and understand our own selves. I pray, Father, that as we hear the message today, that you would help us to take it in and retain it, reflect upon it, thank you for it, and apply the things that you'd have for us to apply. But may we know you in our presence, Father. There's no greater place to be on earth than in your presence. When we recognize that everything else seems to fade away and we're in the very holy presence of you, is a very special moment, a very special time, a time of bonding, a time of worship and humility all in one. And so I pray, Father, that you give us that today, if that be your will. And I trust you, dear Holy Spirit, to carry the message, to preach the message, and to accomplish the work that you want to through it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to do our second message to our series of messages called Family Vacation. When I mentioned family vacation, I've realized that not everybody grew up going on vacation every summer. For me, that was normal, but not everybody does or has in the past. And the title of today's message is The Right Direction, because on vacation, it wasn't uncommon to maybe lose your direction. You know, when we were going back for Gregory's graduation at the Navy, I'm going to say Navy boot camp, you know, for lack of a better term, we're driving back to Michigan. One of the members of our church gave us a TomTom. Oh, great, we got a TomTom. Good. You know, hook it up, got it in the car, driving around, but we didn't realize that the TomTom didn't necessarily have all the information that was needed. In certain areas, we weren't getting the right direction. In fact, in certain areas, the directions were kind of mixed up, right? And so we're trying to figure out. Now, when you're in a city that you don't know and you're trying to find the right direction, it's a little frustrating, isn't it? It's very frustrating. And we experienced that, but we made it. We got there. And we had a good time. We walked up to, what is it, the museum? The Metropolitan Museum in Chicago, I think it is. We go out there. We're running up to the stairs to the platform, the front porch where the doors are. We run up there to get, you know, to go in, and the doorman goes, "Sorry, we just closed 2 minutes ago." After all that, and you just think, well, you know, that was a part of a stressful event for vacation. When we were in San Francisco years ago, when the kids were really small, we had a little Pontiac Le Mans, you know, a little tiny little car. We had both kids in car seats, in the back seat, and we're stick shift. So we're going up the hill in San Francisco, and for me, I'm the third car back from the top of the hill. And we're a line of traffic, and I'm holding it in place, but I know that as soon as it's time to go, I gotta lift my foot off that brake, that clutch, and brake, and pop it, you know, and go. Then I got up to the top and went around the corner, and we're going to go downhill now. So I'm looking downhill, and I go, whew, whew, whew. That looks like a lot of fun. So I looked at the kids, and I go, "You ready to have some fun? Mom, are you ready to have some fun?" "Yeah." You know, it's a four-cylinder. You know? And punched it as hard as I could, and we're just going, whew, whew. And all of our rear ends were lifting a little bit off the seat, you know, as you hit the right spot. Got down to the bottom of the hill and turned right to go up the other street. It was the wrong way. I turned right and they were coming toward me, and I made a quick U-turn and made a right again onto a different street. Some of our memories of vacation are fun, but I have to tell you too that there are times when vacation can be very stressful and exhausting as well. And so we as Christians have to know how to depend upon the Lord to maintain our sanity at times. Amen? And there are times when your sanity just kind of goes out the window on vacation. So sometimes instead of trusting God and his one-way directional sign in our lives, relatively speaking here, applying it to us, we can end up going the wrong way head-on into danger. We reason out to ourselves why it's best for us to go the wrong direction. I reasoned out why it was best when I get to the bottom of the hill to turn right and go up the other side. My reason was, that sounds like fun. Let's just get down to the bottom, turn around, and go back up. But I wasn't watching the signs. And sometimes we as Christians will reason out why we ought to do what we want, not what God wants, and we follow the wrong directions, and we end up creating problems for ourselves. I thank the Lord that we didn't get in an accident, because that could have been a very serious thing. God has taught me some lessons about vacations. One is to trust Him. First time I drove from Florida to California, and I've done it probably 6 times now, back and forth, coast to coast. But the first time I went, it was kind of, as we used to say in the 70s, hairy. It was kind of hairy, scary for me, going through these big cities and all the intersections and all that stuff. But I trusted God because I know and I knew that I was in God's will and He was going to get me there. And He did. But this faced the facts. Sometimes vacations don't feel like vacations. Ever been on vacation? You plan a vacation and you're exhausted when you come home?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're on vacation away from the normal, but you're exhausted, right? How about you're on vacation and your kids are going berserk? You know, they're tired of being in the back seat. I remember Carolyn and Olin in the back seat of the car, you know, and whether they were sick or they were crying or this and that, it was constant attention, right? Constant. And you could feel the tension of stress build up on you. And I think, I'm supposed to be on vacation here. You know, we're supposed to be all relaxed and chilled. It's not going to happen certain points in our vacations. And we can add any scenario we want to. We all know that vacation does not always mean non-stress. We're going to find those areas of stress in our lives. And so our kids and our teenagers, kids, can cause some real stress in our lives during vacation. And before Greg went into the Navy, he had a pretty bad attitude. And we were on vacation, and we were in a beautiful area, loving the area. And he was just messing it all up, left and right. All of us were constantly on top of him. Knock it off. Shape up. Think right. All this, trying to give the directions. But he heard the directions, but he didn't heed the direction, you know. And so I don't like talking about my son in a negative way, but that was a vacation I'm not gonna forget. I don't think the rest of us in our family will either. But as we go on vacations, we have to deal with the challenges and the stresses that come along with it. And as we're doing this series of messages on vacations, we all know that vacation is not always what it is intended to be, right? Parenting isn't easy, and sometimes we need to offer grace-filled discipline. Grace-filled discipline to our children, even if it isn't pleasant at the time, much like God does with us. Our goal is to keep our kids going in the right direction. It's a sign of love. Now, I know you probably are thinking, and I've thought about it too in this message. I'm thinking, okay, this message is geared for young families, that young parents and children growing up and vacations. It's also geared toward grandparents, right, and how we relate with our grandchildren and those. It can relate to kids that God has in our lives, the kids that we know. But I want us to think just one step beyond that, is that how God relates to us as our Father. We're His children. And He never takes vacation from disciplining us. In fact, it's a blessing to be disciplined by God, and we don't like hearing that. Nobody likes discipline because it's not fun, is it? But when we know the discipline is there, we know that love is there, we know that structure is there, and we've experienced that with the Lord as well. In Hebrews 12, 5 through 11, it says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there from whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human affairs who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But He," that's God, "for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful, Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. What's the goal of the discipline, especially as being Christians? Is to discipline and direct our children in the way of the Lord. To discipline and help our kids to grow up to be mature adults that are Christian adults that value their relationship with God and that know the difference between right and wrong, know that they are not chosen for a life of entitlement, but of responsibility and accountability as well. And so the discipline is there for good. God has given that for us because afterwards, in verse 11, it says, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Mark Driscoll, he's a pastor and author of a book called Pastor Dad. You know, it's kind of hard to be a pastor dad. You know, PKs don't have it easy. They get a lot of extra heat and criticism. Oh, you're this and this, and you're a pastor's kid, and you did what, and so forth, and whatever. You know, it's not easy for PKs. But he says this, quote, a wise father gives his children what they need, which is not always what they want, unquote. I mean, we know that. That's simple, right? But discerning what is what they need as opposed to what they want sometimes can be challenging, especially when we're trying to shape them and direct them in a way that builds character. So when I was talking about Greg, one of the things that had come out that really blessed us, because the goal here is to discipline and direct and be consistent as parents, even on vacation, in helping our kids or grandkids or whomever to be right and to make the right decisions. We have, I think, two letters from our son in length telling us, thank you for sticking to your guns. Thank you for drawing the line. Thank you for telling me what I didn't want to hear, what you told me. Thank you for being good parents. And to hear that come back, because during the time, the discipline's no fun. And he didn't like it, we didn't like it. But to come back and have him say, thank you. That consistency is there. And thank you for being who you were, even when I didn't like it. And so we can praise God for that. And so, isn't that what God does with you and I? I mean, he disciplines us, he directs us, but is there not a security in our relationship with God personally that says, okay, I not only acknowledge that you're my Father in heaven, but I also know that you know all about me. I also know that you will direct me. I also know I have a choice to follow your direction. I also know that you will discipline me, you will correct me, and that you are shaping me and that you are making me, all for a purpose and a goal that my life will glorify him. That's a good thing. Why is it a good thing for our lives to glorify God? Is it just to build God's ego? No. It's because the things of God are right and may bless our lives. When we're right with God, when we're the people that God has called us to be, shaped into what he wants us to be, which is a lifelong endeavor, but when we're walking with him and being God's people, it's a blessing for us because of the relationship that we have with Jesus. So in all that direction and disciplining that we may do as Christian parents or aunts or uncles or whomever with our children in our lives, it's with the goal, should always be that goal, to help them to be the best person they can be in Christ Jesus. Because that's where real happiness is. In a relationship with Christ that's true and real and rich and deep. And we as children of God, you know, people say, well, the whole world is children of God. We've heard that. No, the whole world was created in the image of God. But we are the children of God. We are children of light because we have Christ in our lives. And God, our Father, is constantly directing us to be what he wants us to be, that we might have the fullness of life in relationship with him. And so when you see your kids growing up and starting to appreciate how you've invested and how you've drawn the line, how you stuck to your guns and all these idioms that we might say about how parents gave structure, that's rewarding. But the greater reward is seeing them grow up to be mature Christians, committed to Jesus, to follow him. But that's their choice. We can direct, we can show them, but like us, it's also true with them. We have to make the right decision. And so when we're on vacation, the discipline doesn't stop. Hey, we're on vacation, I'm going to let it slide. No, we're not going to let it slide because you know it's wrong and I know it's wrong and we're going to redirect this attitude type of thing. So clear communication and authority are the balance needed to properly discipline young children or teens. Communication, number one, right? I say number two. One is love. Number two is clear communication and then establishing that authority. Clear communication and authority are the balance needed to properly discipline young children or teens. Cause and effect should be clear and consistent and collaborative between parents. You know, parents should be in agreement. This is wrong, this is right. If you do this, you can have this consequence. Parents should be in agreement that, you know, we are the ones that are setting the rules and we are the ones that are the authority in your life. What do we see today? We see so many that want to be best friends. And they throw the parenting authority out the window. And that's not going to help anybody. It's not going to help them. It's not going to glorify God. You can have a great relationship, but you should always be the parent. When you grow up and you're your own adult, you're still the parent. Right? And it shifts a little bit, but you show the honor and the respect to your parents as well. So when we go on family vacation, we got to be consistent. Because if we're not consistent, then kids will always think, hey, you know what? We're going to go have fun. That means I don't have to worry about what I do. And we do. So Jesus is our perfect model as parents. Now this is where it applies to you and I as Christians, because obviously many of you, several of you, don't have children. I don't have any holes in my chest, do I? Okay, good. All's cool. All right. So this is where it applies to us as God's children, all right? Jesus is our perfect model as parents. He was and is always truthful with those around him because he is truth. We have to be truthful with our kids, even when they don't want to hear it. He was and is always clear in communicating his expectations. We've got to make our expectations plain and clear to our kids and help them to see that direction. Of course, we see the scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:8, with that. He was and is always providing clear directions for us to go. John 14:26. He was and is always gracious and merciful with us. Aren't you glad that he's gracious and merciful with us? We don't get what we deserve, right? 1 Timothy 1:16. He was and is always disciplining us when it is required. When it is required. And so that's a key. I think I've seen some parents out there that just get a thrill out of disciplining. That's not the way to discipline. And he was and is always forgiving towards us. 2 Corinthians 5:19. This is how God treats us. And so as we follow him, listen to him, respond to him, he's teaching us as our father how to be good fathers, good mothers, good parents, good aunts and uncles, if you will, because we're the Christian influence on those kids that God has brought into our lives. So Paul reminds us as fathers that we have a purpose, and that's the discipline. Is discipline bad? Of course it's not. Is discipline harsh sometimes? Is discipline necessary for correct direction for people, for our children? Yeah, of course it is. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 6:4, it says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." I have seen through teasing parents that have had more fun getting their kids mad just for the sake of teasing them. Push this button, push this button. Look how mad they're getting. Push the button, push the button. That's wrong. We're not to provoke our children to anger, but we're to train them in the way of the Lord. Have fun, play, tease, give direction, be that authority, give the guidelines, have the lines, all these things, but don't provoke your kids to wrath. Let's put that in another perspective. When you're having a really rough time and you're trying to make it clear to your son or your daughter or whomever what you need to make clear, but inside you've lost it. Inside you have just simply lost it. and your wrath starts to unfold, what do? We pray that God gives us the grace to back up. Take a deep breath to listen and relax and get ourselves into control. I was not good at that. When this Polish temper blew, it blew and did not go well. And as a Christian man and father and husband, those are one of the things that I regret, because of the lack of control from my own personal anger when it would just blow up. So God disciplines us to keep us going in the right direction, to guide us, and to keep our children in the direction that He wants them to go, that God gets the glory. When God gets the glory, it's because our hearts are right with God and have the fullness and richness of God in our lives, and that glorifies Him. And we're almost done here, but I want to make a couple more points here. Our discipline and guidance is not so that they become well-behaved children for us. We don't raise up our children so that they're just what we want them to be, but we raise up our children as Christian parents that our kids are obedient servants to the Lord that bring Him glory. Which is more important? That your kids just love and honor and respect you, which is cool and ought to be, or that your kids grow up loving and honoring God above you and everything else? That's what's important, because that's where the fullness comes in their lives, and that's where God is glorified. In Ephesians 6:4, it says, again, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. So we need to be careful about that. Whether it's our own children or grandchildren, we need to be careful not to provoke them, but we do need to be willing to invest and instill in them four different characters, four different things that they need. I think really when I saw this and I thought about my son's letters that he's written to us, the reflection that he had on the difficulty, but the appreciation as he reflected on it, meant a lot. And putting these particular principles into his life. When we're on vacation, we're investing. When we're living, we're in a daily lives and the routine, we're investing in our kids. And so Focus on the Family had 4 points, and then we'll close this message. One, what are we supposed to do? What are we to invest with our kids? We're to make them feel safe. We had so many kids come to our house because they felt safe. They had a safe environment. They had a structure. They saw consistency, and they saw love. And we had kids that were coming from homes that didn't have that. And they hung around, and it was good. It was good for them. And so we need to give that safe place for them. The Bible tells us that children are safe to approach Christ in the midst of struggle and receive mercy and grace. That's in Hebrews 4:16. But we have to model this safety to our children. Because when kids have safety, their stress level goes down. I'm with my dad. I'm with my mom. I'm with my parents. I am secure. I am safe. When I was about this high, what time is it? Good, I got time. When I was about this high, and even though I didn't understand haunted houses and all that stuff and the spiritual applications, we're not going there. But I remember going through this haunted house and holding my dad's hand. And this is a long time ago. And so we're going through this tunnel. This huge spider comes jumping out. It scared the wits out of me. But I had my dad's hand. Something about that safety, that security, that's important. We get that from God as we walk with Him. We're to give that to our children because they need that as well. They need to know that they're safe. They need to know that they can always have that place to go. Secondly, we're to make them understand their love no matter what. Make them know their love no matter what. Easy said, not easy done. But love, God's love is what? Unconditional love. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, how shameful it is, how ugly it is, how offensive it is, how much it hurt, no matter what it is, I love you. And that love has to be consistent, because why? That's how God loves us. No matter what, no matter where, no matter how, no matter what shame, God our Father still loves us, and we're to reflect that, as Luke 15, 11 through 32 will tell us. We know about that prodigal son and the whole story, that God never gave up loving either of his sons. Unconditional love is a safe place. I know my parents love me. I know I blew it. I know the lines that I've crossed, so forth and so, what. But I know that I can go to them and I'm safe, and I know that I'm loved no matter what. But I know they're going to be honest with me too. And they're going to tell me straight up what I need to hear. And then we're going to make them understand they are capable. We're not necessarily talking about skills, although we build up our children and grandchildren to develop their skills, or our nieces and nephews, whatever children you might have in your life, or just kids that God brings into your life. It's not strictly the skills, but it's the capability to teach them to know how to make the right choice, to know right from wrong, to know that there are consequences to actions. And those things are important as well. Every human being was created to do good works, and that's in Ephesians 2:10. And as kids, they will misbehave. But in times of misbehaving, when you're about to pull all your hair out, when you don't know what else to do, when your kids are driving you nuts, and believe me, it doesn't happen just when they're here. Okay? It's an opportunity to give direction, to help them to have the choice to do what's right. And hopefully we've grounded them enough to know the difference. And finally, the fourth thing is make them understand they're responsible for their actions. Kind of got ahead of myself there a little bit. But Galatians 6:7 says, teaches that we reap what we sow. You want to live this way? You want to go out there and get drunk and lose it? You want to go out there and apply whatever lifestyle you want to, that you know that you've been taught isn't the lifestyle that you ought to have? You want to walk away from God and not listen to him when you know he's in your heart? You want to make all these major decisions? You want to develop your own path and leave God out of it? There's consequences, especially as God's children. And we're called to encourage our kids to evaluate, to make them capable, to be able to reason and say, I know that if I do this, this is where I'm most likely going to be. This is a recourse, a reaction to it. And hopefully we raise them in a way that they are willing to make the right decisions. And we all make wrong decisions, don't we? When we leave a mess, as an example, Focus on the Family said this with your little kids. You know, when we leave a mess, you have a hard time finding what you're looking for later. If your room's all messed up and you're frustrated because you can't find what you're looking for, clean your room up and keep it where it ought to be. Right? That's just a simple lesson. But there is a consequence to that. So you think, okay, what's this vacation thing? And I was talking to Kath about this too. I said, you know, I've always tried to keep the messages from the pulpit geared toward the entire body. But as we have some younger families in here that are coming in and need to focus on that, and what some instruction for them and dealing with their kids as well, but to remind us that we're God's children and how he deals with us, and it all interlinks. And so being disciplinarians is not a critical judgment on ourselves. It's a statement that when it's done right in Christ, with right motive and love, it's consistent and it brings forth good fruit. It produces good. So when you're on vacation, if you happen to be with your grandchildren on a vacation, if you happen to be with your kids on vacation, with your family on vacation, at a ball game or whatever, let God use you to help direct them in the direction that they need to go. Because you'll be able to look at that vacation and say, we got through that stress, we got through that confusion, we got through that challenge, we got through those attitudes. It's a consistent parenting thing. But it was worth it. And God will be glorified by it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, the truth of the matter is that to follow the path that you have for us takes keeping our eyes on you, teaching our children the value of first coming to know you as their Savior, teaching them the value of keeping their eyes and hearts focused on you, encouraging them to do so, teaching them wisdom that you've learned, that you've taught us. These are all challenging things. But I pray, Father, that, you know, keep talking about the vacation title. You know, it's not about the title of the series of messages, but still the example being that consistency, even through vacation, is an opportunity to do good through direction. It's because of love. It's because of the good intent. It's because of the desire to raise up our children in a way that brings glory to you, because their lives are surrendered to you. Their hearts are in love with you. Their desire is to follow you and to discover the life you created for them. And so when we are in that mode, wherever we're at, on vacation or ball games or whatever we do this summer, help us, Father, to keep those things in place consistently, that our children and grandchildren will see you, know you, and love you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.